Well, good morning. It's my privilege to welcome you this morning, bright and early on Tuesday morning here at 6 o'clock. And as usual, we're going to get started. Vietnam veteran Ray Bratcher is going to come and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you'd stand up.
Join me, fellow Americans. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Thank you for leading us, and thank you for your service. Well, looks like we got a few new faces this morning. If you're here for the first time, raise your hand. There, well, welcome. What's your name?
My name's Stacy Dodd.
Stacy Dodd, and who are you with? Awesome, awesome. Welcome.
I'm Dean Evans.
Awesome. Who are you with?
I know Ray.
All right. Well, that's right. That's awesome. Well, you know some good guys, and we're so glad you're here this morning. Welcome to everybody. Welcome to Awaken Memphis. And who else we got back there?
Ron Parker.
Oh, you're trying to hide in the back. That's where I sit.
Hip-hop.
All right. Well, welcome. We're so glad you're here. If you're here for the first time, we've been meeting for years, so I'm glad you finally found us. You can find us on the website, jesushelps.me. Where can you find us? You can find us on Monday night. What are we doing on Monday night? Last night, we had a two-hour prayer call. We have intercessors from eight different countries. We're in week 131, going into 131 weeks, where we've been praying for the welfare of our city, the welfare of our churches. We've been praying for the kingdom. We're expanding internationally. We're praying for many international countries, for the peace of Jerusalem. We have a missionary from Jerusalem. India, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia are some of the areas we land in. Africa,
Mozambique.
Many of you remember David Azaz. He'll be here in January. He'll be back from Mozambique, and he will be bringing our message. So where else can you join us? You can join us on Sunday afternoons. Sunday afternoons from 3 to 5 o'clock, we got a daylight savings time change. We will be at Shelby Farms, and what will we be doing out there? We'll be looking for people who are far from God, and we'll be looking for people who may know God, and maybe they're having just a little trouble with this thing called discipleship, and how do I really follow this living God? So when we encounter people there, we offer them the gospel in a loving way. We also offer them a chance maybe to develop some of their skills or come walk with us, and maybe we can learn something from them. But we're out there at Shelby Farms doing that. So basically, what is Awaken Me? Awaken Me is a ministry of prayer and fasting. We're also a ministry out here to model what it looks like to follow Jesus. We're out here to irritate you, Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, and let us consider one another not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but provoking each other. We're here to provoke and irritate the body of Christ. Hopefully some of the things you'll hear coming out of somebody's mouth at one of these things will kind of irritate you a little bit to think, wait a minute, what did Jesus mean when he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is coming, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So my question to you, kind of like almost every week, who did you talk to this past week? Not this past year, this past week. Did you follow the command of Christ when he said to go make disciples? It's real easy to know whether you're on track or not. We're not going to raise our hands, but who did you engage with the gospel in the last 7 days? Who did you engage in the gospel the last 14? Okay, you're busy. Who did you engage in the last month? If you keep getting zeros on that front, you're in the right place. Because you know what? We all struggle with that. And we all need to be irritated. We all needed to be provoked. And we all need, as the body of Christ, to come together. And that's why he wants us to be in a fellowship. This is a fellowship of many different churches. On Sunday, I think one Sunday not long ago, we had 15 different churches out there. 15 different churches from all different denominations out there engaging the world for Christ. You know, the Church of Ephesus was all the churches. It wasn't one big building. the church in Thessalonica wasn't one big building. It was all the little churches in Thessalonica that were meeting, came together to hear the word of the Lord. We are coming together to provoke one another unto love and good works. Did I forget anything, David? I got to rolling. Okay, all right, Roselle. We have a special speaker that Roselle knows really, really, really well. And so, Roselle, would you please come up here and pray for Michael Cassie? Michael is in prison in Urban Ministries. Roselle, you're going to come up here, and then I'm going to get David Sitton to come up and introduce Michael, because actually, I really think these are the two founding fathers of Awakened Bee, or Another Broken Egg, or way back to Brother Juniper's. David Sitton and Michael Cassie really started this. So, Michael, we look forward to hearing from you in just a minute.
Praise God. Let me just give my testimony of witnessing. Just give me a minute. I ain't going to be long. I had at a wake, I came to Brother Henry and Brother David and said, could I get some Hispanic Bibles? They said, sure, we got Bibles. They gave me those Hispanic Bibles. And the last Tuesday evening, I saw a Hispanic family, and I went to the young man, and I gave him one of those Bibles. And he looked at me and said, thank you. Then I gave he had his mother and his father and two sisters with him. I gave every one of them a Spanish Bible. Then the father says to the son, why do I have Spanish Bibles? And his reason for asking that question was, he thought I spoke Spanish. So I told him, no, I didn't speak Spanish. My Bible is an English Bible. So I conversed with the son, and all of a sudden, tears began to roll from his eyes. And he says to me, how you know? He said, my brother no longer with us. In other words, the whole family was grieving of the father and mother of their son, and he was grieving over the loss of his brother. And see, this is what Awake, the Bible teaches, to go and make disciples, to share the gospel, the good news, because you never know. But when you understand that Jesus have called us for this purpose, to be an effective witness for the kingdom, this is what it's all about. It's about, let me hurry, because you know I get crumb. Yes, sir. Yeah, pray, let me pray, yes, sir. Father, we thank you, hallelujah. We bless your gracious name. What a privilege to even speak to you this morning, Father. What a privilege, Lord, to even have the breath that you have given us to even cry hallelujah this morning. What a privilege, Lord, to even, Lord, to enjoy your goodness. Lord, we just thank you for the miracle of your protection as we slumber and slept on last night. Lord, we need to wake up and understand, Lord, that you are a person. You're not an entity. You are a person that relates to us from a personal perspective. Lord, I just thank you for the greatest gift, none other than the precious Holy Spirit. As my brother come, Brother Michael Cass, I thank you for the anointing that's upon his life. I thank you for the anointing that's upon ministry that's going and evangelizing Awake and other ministers alike. I pray that the eyes of these that are here will open and see the reality of the coming of the Lord Jesus and get busy about the kingdom business. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great, great testimony there, Roselle. Every Thursday morning at Bellevue for the last 10 weeks, there's been a group of us sitting at a table studying how God makes men. And what it is, it's a study on different Bible characters. Last week we studied Job. The week before we did Nehemiah. We've got Peter this Thursday. And we have a group of men. Michael sits at the table. Rozelle sits at the table. Gary does sometimes. Stacy sits at our table. And we've got two men that are at our table that we've been praying for. This prayer list that goes around, Henry and I actually come up here and pray every day and pray for the prayer request. And the man I'm going to introduce to you real quick that's going to share a brief testimony is part of the answered prayer, because two of the men at our table are now on a 30-day program because of this man sitting here right in front of us. And Stacy Dodd, come up here and share a little bit. This man used to be homeless. Then he became the CEO of his company. Now he's an ambassador, heads up the Celebrate Recovery for the state of Mississippi. And I just ask him to share briefly a testimony before I introduce Michael.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be here. I believe God's intentional, and there's a verse in the Bible that said your gifts will bring you before great men. And so today, as I sit here listening to that song, that's where I feel like I'm at. So thank you for having me for a few minutes. I started using drugs in the southeast, Durmont, Arkansas, on the other side of Greenville, Mississippi, in the cotton fields. My mom moved to a small town that my parents were divorced when I was two, and I started smoking and drinking as a little kid in the neighborhood and out on the cotton farm. And make a long story short, by the age of 33, I'm in the woods, living in the woods, addicted to methamphetamine, addicted to drugs. I had some alcohol issues, you know, going through high school. And my family shipped me to Memphis in the 90s to get me off drugs. And it wasn't long. I was in worse shape here in Memphis, in Midtown Memphis, a place called Dixie Homes and down around Midtown. And then so they finally shipped me back to Missouri. Wasn't long. I was living in the woods. I was literally living in the woods like a Neanderthal, like a caveman. And I really wanted to die. I didn't want to live. The only thing I knew about Jesus at that time was what I learned in Vacation Bible School. And I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know what the gospel was at that time. I went to prison. I got a prison sentence. Hit rock bottom really hard. My mom finally quit enabling me. She was a nurse anesthetist here in Memphis. And went to prison, went to a program, started reading my Bible, got in the New Testament, and I was freaking out because I didn't know Jesus had done all this stuff, and I was like really amazed. I was like on this spiritual adventure. They had me stirring oatmeal in prison, but I would run back to my home, which was my cell, and read my Bible. You know, like every night it was like I got really infatuated with what this, you know, it was like going on an adventure, because I'm in prison, I had nothing to do anyway. I got baptized and got saved in prison. Been clean 22 years now. I'm a state representative for Celebrate Recovery. I did Celebrate Recovery, the church part of it, as a state representative for over 10 years. I helped over 30 ministries get started. Then I moved over recently to Celebrate Recovery Inside. So we go in, we just recently went into 201 Poplar last Monday. Working on getting into Parchman, Rankin County. I've been going into DeSoto County Jail for about 8 years. I started working. I ended up taking care of my mom. She gave me one last chance and when I came here. And that's when I finally got clean. And no one thought I was ever going to get clean. I mean, I had been using for over 20 years, and I was a really bad junkie and liar and all those kind of things. But Jesus truly set me free. And he set me free, and I've lived those promises. I live them every day. And today is part of those promises that God, you know, he honors his word. Always. So now I got a job at when my mom passed away, I cared for her for 14 months and, you know, changed her diapers and fed her and did all those things. Gave her a little bit back for all the heartache I caused all my life. But anyway, she came to live with us. My stepdad, he gave me a ride to work. I had to rebuild my life from nothing. I came to Memphis with Greyhound bus with nothing but a backpack. And I wrote a book called Backpack to the Burbs. It's a little book. It's, you know, but people in jail love it. You know, families love it. And it's a little book, but it tells about my story, and it tells about how Jesus set me free and how he set me where I'm at today. So today, my role is regional ambassador. I do Celebrate Recovery. I have a little community center out in South Haven called the Hope Center. We mentor kids, part of the Grizzlies organization. And so we mentor those at-risk youth. We go into the schools and go into churches, and we come wherever you want us to come, and we show them love and bring Chick-fil-A, and we also teach them, and we also give them a safe place to go. But my role in the community is at Vertava Health, and Vertava Health is a national detox and residential drug and alcohol treatment center. We treat a lot of veterans. We have about 100 patients every day, including today. There's 100 patients out in South Haven in our facilities, and my passion is finding impossible situations. So God has led me to where I want to find the one that's living in the car that no one, everyone says is no good, don't come home. That's what I'm looking for. And that's where the miracles are hidden at. And that's my passion. We can help people where they have money or not. I don't really care where they go get help at, honestly. Don't tell my boss I said that. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't care. We get people to treatment. And if they're homeless, I got four people off the streets in Memphis last month. Only one went to our program. The other two went to other programs, and another one's, you know, in sober living and got a really good job. But I really don't care where people get help at. I just want them to find the Lord. I want them to find Jesus. I want their family to get their loved ones back. And so that's been, God's given me that as my mission. And so whether I find them in jail, you know, I speak to them in jail. Sometimes they message me, you know, you spoke to me in jail and I remembered it, and they reach out to me. And so I just steer them towards the resources. The number one resource is God. But, you know, I believe God is intentional. And recently I was led to some people that are here, and I've known Janet and Kenneth for a long time, and they're really amazing people. And so it's an honor to be here with you today. Just know that you can reach out to me on social media. You can reach out to me anything. You can give anybody my phone number, my name, and I'll just ask them how old they are, what they're struggling with, and when they're ready, and when they're ready to go. So thank y'all for having me.
Yep. Thank you, brother. Answer to prayer. And I know that encouraged Roselle and Michael. 20 years ago, we were having a Bill Glass prison outreach here in Memphis. And we had so many volunteers, we had to erect a tent outside the hotel. I think we had 400 or 500 people going into about 10 or 12 different correctional facilities. And somehow, Tony Cacamisi and I got tapped to be the co-chairs of it, trying to coordinate everything. And so what I did, I invited the pastor at Second Pres, Sandy Wilson, to come over and give us the Friday morning challenge before we take the 3 days to go into the prisons. And we had motorcycle guys and leather and T-shirts, jeans, and we were all underneath this tent. Mark Luttrell was the sheriff, and they both had coat and ties on. And Sandy Wilson comes and he goes, I guess y'all didn't see the email on the dress code today, because you know, we were all going into the prisons. And I never will forget this message, Michael. I know Michael's preached it a couple times. Sandy Wilson brought, and it was 4 points about Jesus and the demoniac. And he said, there's no place Jesus won't go. There's no person Jesus won't use. There's no person Jesus can't reach. And there's no power that Jesus can't overcome. Those 4 points, and Michael and I met that day. He was on default from one of the staff members at Faith Baptist. And we started doing things together. And Michael has had an incredible ministry at Faith Baptist with prison and urban ministry. Michael was with me one Thursday morning when two sheriff's deputies said, we've got some papers we need to serve to you. And I had a sidearm on me. Michael was with me. And when I got there, they said, we hate to tell you this, but not only do we have some papers to serve for you, we also have a warrant for your arrest. So I had these four white sheriff's deputies, and they put me in the back of a Tahoe to go downtown. They said, we wouldn't normally handcuff you, but we've got to pick up a blood that just got shot by a Crip over here on Sycamore View. And so I give my pistol to Michael and leave my car where it was at. And that night, I was in an orange jumpsuit at 201 Poplar. I had been falsely accused. And that next morning, I had to stand in front of a judge, but I had to call Mike at 3:30 in the morning to come get me at 201 Poplar, and I could go home and change before I met with the judge. And the very next morning, Saturday morning, I was going to Morocco and Egypt for a 10-day mission trip. So, Michael, you know how it is. When something big is getting ready to happen, and the adversary just, you know, tries to sidetrack you. But Michael and I have done a lot of things together. He's the kind of guy that I can call at 3:30 in the morning when I got one phone call. Mike, come pick me up at 201 Poplar. And he got me. And Saturday night, we were at the MMA mixed martial arts bout at the Octagon. And I don't know how many dozens of times we've gone down there. We split the fighters up, blue team, red team. And we pray with each individual team. The last fighter that I had Saturday night was a Muslim. And very good guy and everything. And he said, you can pray with me, but just don't pray in Jesus' name. And he got knocked out. He got pinned back on the thing that night. And Michael and I went to a ball game a couple weeks ago. We left the fourth quarter. Memphis was up by 19 points. We said, we got this in the bag. We drove home. I pulled up in the driveway, and Houston had scored 24 points that last corner and beat Memphis. So it's never over till it's over. But, Michael, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. Over the years, we started meeting at a table at Brother Juniper's about 6 years ago. Michael said, we'll meet as long as it's just not another meeting. We just don't need another meeting. And then Mike went to California, and he came back, and we had a microphone. He said, man, y'all are upgrading to a microphone now. We've got radio now. This is messages recorded. So, Michael, come up here. Preach to us, brother. This man was a former Muslim, a former Communist Party member. I hope you can share some of that story, testimony, because I think about half the people in here have not heard this background. But this is the kind of men God makes right here. Michael Cassie, he's a warrior for Christ. I'm just glad he's on the Lord's side and not on the other side. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Good morning. First, giving honor to God and to my Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who was the head of my life, who woke me this morning. I always say when I wake up, God is life and life is God. Little hoarse, so please excuse me. Nasal problems. Let's pray. Father God, Daddy, Abba Father, thank you for this another day, another chance, another opportunity to not only awaken, but to realize, oh Lord, that I was a sinner at one time and you saved me. You delivered me. And you created in me a clean heart and a renewed spirit. And you allowed me, oh Lord, to be set apart, sanctified, to use me for your glory. You wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life. I have nothing else I need. I have nothing else I want. But I would like, while my time is on this earth, and I pray that everyone in this room will feel the same way. You have a plan. We're in on that plan. If we wasn't, you wouldn't need us. You don't really need us, but you want to use us for your glory. Help us to understand the importance of what is taking place in the world today and throughout the world, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. And you have assembled the members of this body of Christ to do exactly that, to listen for your still voice. And then, O Lord, to be obedient unto your word and to your will, to be fully surrendered and fully committed to doing of the work of being laborers together with God. We hope today someone will come to know you and depart of their sins to bring glory and honor, as one day we know we're watching and praying because I know you're heading back this way. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoa. Ah, man, 1976. I'm at the Long Beach Arena in California. I'm at a tournament. I'm a black belt. I didn't fight in a lot of tournaments at the time because when I grew up, I wasn't into martial arts at an early age, so I didn't get to fight in the white belt category, the blue belt category, the purple belt, the red belt, the brown belt. When my first tournament, I was already a black belt, so I didn't have that kind of experience. But one thing I know is that I knew that I was going to get some best. And if you're in Long Beach, Ed Parker's is called the International. It's one of the biggest tournaments at that time in L.A. Ed Parker is known as the father of American karate. I had a relationship with Ed, who lived in Pasadena. He allowed me to do some things. He used to be even Elvis Presley's bodyguard at one time. Made a few movies. And so I'm at the Long Beach Arena. I'm at a big tournament. The only reason why it is because if you win your division, you win $300. I grew up poor. It cost me $30 to sign up, and that was hard to do that. So I'm in this ring. There's a lot of rings, a lot of fights going on. And I remember signing up. I was a lightweight. There were lightweight, middleweights, heavyweights, light heavyweights. I was in the lightweight division. And in that lightweight division, when you're in a national tournament like that, the best fighters come from everywhere, right? So hopefully you're not in some of the other weight classifications, because some of the best fighters are over there. But anyway, we had some good ones in the lightweight. So I fight my first match. But before I fought my first match, this guy named Roger Tong. That was 1976. I remember this guy. I'm sitting waiting. I'm next up to fight the fighter I'm going to fight. Roger Tong's in the ring, Kung Fu Man. And I noticed when they called Roger Tong's name, everybody gathered around the ring. They heard his name and gathered. Didn't know at the time he was ranked number 10 in the nation. Usually Kung Fu fighters ain't really good at sparring. Roger was a little different. So as Roger's match started, he was fighting. Now it was supposed to be kiss contact. Any swelling, bleeding, or excessive contact, you could get disqualified. So Roger's fighting, he's leading. And this guy charges Roger, and Roger has what we call a hook kick in the martial arts. Sometimes they hook and then roundhouse. It's called a roundhouse back. But Roger hooked this guy, and the guy was standing kind of close to him and actually knocked him out or knocked him down. Now I'm thinking he's going to get disqualified. Everybody's around the ring because they came to see Roger. Politics got involved. Referees got together. And they said that they gave him actually a point. Because they said that the guy that he hooked turned into the kick. And he actually won the match. They called my name. I said, man, I done lost too many tournaments on the first round. I ain't finna lose this match. I try to pick the weakest person in the group to get next to. So I get in. I didn't know this guy. I fought him. I smoked him. I mean, I smoked him. And I got a little pride going, and I went and sat down. Went into the bleachers, actually, where my family was. So the fight's going on and on, and I hear my name called again. It's my second match. And when I look out there, there standing there is Roger Tong. I just seen him knock out a guy. My heart is beating so fast. But I know I got to go out there. And I go out there, and my instructor said, hey, stay focused. This is your chance. Take him. You're not going out there. I'm going out there, right? So I get out there. I just had to, you know, you're shaking a little bit. But he threw that first punch at me. The guy who was the referee was Steve Saunders. He was in the movie Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee. Steve's an Okinawate Kempo instructor, very famous in Los Angeles. Steve's the head instructor. So I got a good head instructor. It's like three of them, but he's the head man. And I said, I ain't going to let this guy beat me. He got good feet, probably kind of kung fu, but a little taekwondo. Kick. I just stayed on him because I'm Kempo. I like a lot of moves with my hands. And I just pressured him. He got 2 points on me. You got to get five or who's ever ahead at the end of 2 minutes. It was 2-0. And I said, oh, no, I got to get this guy. I end up beating him 5-2. People are clapping. I lost my next match with I thought I won. Even people say, man, you won that match. Politics came in. Comes in. And the reason why I'm telling you this story, because I'm going to relate it to this message. Religion comes in. And what happened was when Roger, I found out later, you could even look him up, right? You Google Roger Tong, he's still around. Got a big old school somewhere. And so, you know, what I knew is that all of a sudden, no matter who you fight, no matter what you do in life, give it your best. Give it your best. That was my spark in the martial arts. To start fighting in all kind of tournaments, going to other cities, going to other states. It was that spark. I needed a spark, and that was it, fighting Roger Tong. But let me show you about politics again. My instructor, we call him Black Earl, he's really black, real dark, calls me up. He said, brother, they used to call me Nomo. Nomo, you in the book. I said, what book? He said, Karate Illustrated. It had two famous magazines back in the day, Karate Illustrated, Black Belt Magazine. He said, you in Karate Illustrated. Got your picture and everything. Fighting Roger Tong. He said, I got the book. Come on over. So I go to Earl's house. He live in the hood down there in the Blood neighborhood. I go in. He shows me my picture. I said, God. And I got a nice picture of me kind of tagging Roger, too. And right at the bottom of the picture, where it tells everybody's name and stuff, I'm looking for my name, and it said, Roger Tong, all-around competitor. And never mentioned my name at all. I was like, I'll be darned. But you know, God taught me a lesson. You know who you are. And Roger Tong, when fighters fight each other, they know when they lost and they know who's better than them. And when Roger backed up, he did like this. And I had just beat the 10th ranked man in the nation. And that might not mean something to you right now, but that was my spark. Brothers and sisters, we need a revival. You know it's not going to come until there's a spark in the body of Christ. And it can't be one church, one denomination, one color people. It has to be the members of the body of Christ. If it's not, we have no revival. You're fooling yourself if you think revival's going to come. When COVID hit, the famous scripture of the day was 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, everybody in the world was quoting that scripture, who are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That sounds good. Real good. But I just got through, I had to sing with the choir this Sunday. And I can't sing, so they just asked me to read a quote. They gave me Psalm 145. They gave me the first 14 verses, 17, 18, and 19, and 21. And I'm pretty good at memorizing. I'm a little older. I'm not as good as I used to be. But Terry asked me to, while the choir is singing, I have to come in with that song. It starts out, and I extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I kind of like saying that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm saying it to the faith family. They know I'm loud, right? And the choir said, Michael, you got to kind of like build up. You can't just start out loud in the song. You got to build up with the tempo of the choir. I don't know what that really means. I did my best, all right? That's all I could do is do my best. So it had to be a spark. Some spark in me, because I wanted to be Rozell, hanging around with Rozell. If I don't do nothing in the spirit, Rozell is all over me. I ain't lying. That's my brother. Boy, it better be about the Holy Ghost. The third person of the Godhead. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 17. Show you a spark. What I'm going to talk about, Paul does worship. What a great worship man we have here. But worship is not only as God told me. I did a sermon on this before, and I used all forms of worship. But God said, I want you just to use one today. And you could build on it. I'm going to actually be reading from Genesis 22, Abraham. So you can stay there, but I'm going to mention some things from Genesis 17. You got two nations. You're either for God or you're against God. And all this other mess in between means nothing. You can't straddle the fence. You either is or you ain't. And God ain't playing. You read the first chapter of Jeremiah. God ain't playing with nobody. Amen. He will tear you up. He don't care if you're the children of Israel or the Israel. I don't care. Edomites, Argentina, Turnerites. He don't really care. Are you on God's side? Who's on the Lord's side? That's what Moses said. Well, who's on the Lord's side? You got to make up your mind. You can't straddle this fence. When God put my name in the Lamb Book of Life, I said, that's enough. Get out of here. I got eternal life. That's better than any drug transaction I did, any cocaine I could do, any alcohol we could do. You got your name written in the Lamb Book of Life. You can never die. And why COVID scared the whole church? I don't even know how to say this. Why? If God gave you a scripture, and the Hebrew says that the scriptures are alive, it's powerful, it's sharp, it's piercing, how can you get a scripture of God, the word of God, that even Jesus uses, it is written to Satan, and we not believe it and take hold of it? I didn't give you the spirit of fear. So where'd you get it from? But I gave you love, I gave you power, and I gave you a sound mind. Why don't we try using it? And why didn't we show that love to the people around us? I had lunch or dinner with my new pastor and his whole family. He's so down to earth, the boy is deep. Ain't black, any white. Mama white, daddy black. I said, hey, yeah, you got both. You down. But a black family invited him to dinner, and then they invited me to come to dinner with my wife and children. And we just sit down. He was just a normal guy. Just normal. Because I get nervous. I remember Pastor Danny invited me to lunch one day, and I was like, I'm going to go study my Bible. You know? Pastor Danny didn't quote one scripture at that restaurant. Just down to earth. We got Ishmael. We got Isaac. We got the nation of Islam. We got a war going on. And I want to use these two boys to set the tone of that we got to accept whatever God called us to do. I don't care what your role is. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what your position in life. God wants to use you for his glory and for his glory alone. So if you are in maintenance, you better be the best maintenance guy in the world. But you better tell all the maintenance people around you, you know Jesus. I teach karate at a church. I knew some people in the church wasn't going to like it. Didn't care. I got permission from four people at faith. And I use it as a ministry to draw them in and tell them about Jesus. If you ain't talking about Jesus, you ain't talking about nothing. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can get to dad except through him. So why are you trying to go another way? It is no other way. Just be yourself. God made you special. Special. He said, I made you in my likeness, in my image. Look at us. All look different, but we're special. God had fun making us. So here God says something in 17. He said, behold, he's talking to Hagar. I'm in verse 17. You don't have to turn there. You are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael. Already, see, God plans everything. Because the Lord has heard your affliction. Doesn't matter that Hagar was a bondwoman. God hears even bondwomen. The lowest of the low of people, God hears. And he says to her, he shall be a wild man. He's going to define your boy. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named him whom Hagar bore Ishmael. This is daddy, firstborn. Then it says in verse 19, it said, then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princesses. As much as the world is so confused on it, you know, God keeps this simple. I don't need, you know, I went to Southern Bible Institute. I studied, you know, eschatology and all the little ologies and that's out there. I know how to do expository preaching if I wanted to. The proclamation of a biblical concept derived from and transmitted through a grammatical, historical, literary study of a passage of scripture in its context, which the Holy Spirit has first made vital through the personality of the preacher, and then he expounds it to the experiences of the congregation. Now, if I want to get like, has God touched you today? Well, if he hasn't, you send us $1.99 and we'll send you absolutely free a touch from God. You want to play with God? Go on and play with him. Let us go to 22. This is our scripture. Verse 1, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. He's going to test all of us. Said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. When God calls you, you ought to recognize his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Then he said, take now, watch how he defines stuff, your son, your only son, Isaac. Wait a minute. Did y'all have a problem with that when you got there? Because he got Ishmael. See, God said, okay, no, Ishmael didn't come like I wanted him to come. Y'all did that. Man stepped in. We always stepping in, trying to do our thing. Think we know more than God. Sarah, you should have just stayed unpregnant till it was your turn. We try to jump ahead of God, and now we got problems. That's why the world is what it is today, because we always trying to jump the plan. Accept your responsibility in the body of Christ. The eye cannot say to the hand, I can't have no need of you. We all need each other. You're fooling yourself. You want revival? God wants unity. To get liberty, you got to have unity. He said, take your son whom you love. See, it gets deep now. That's my boy. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, I don't know what about y'all. A lot of people love their children. You know what's wrong with it? My mother was wrong with my mother. She worshiped us. She loved just 9 of us. My mother worshiped us. Every time I got in trouble, my mother was there. Went to jail one day in L.A. and she said, Michael, I can't take you home. What do you mean? I'm a juvenile. What do you mean you can't take me home? I'm a juvenile. She said, hey, you're going to have to go to juvenile hall. Me and her crying. Oh, I had never been to no juvenile hall. Sent me to Downey, Los Padrinos Juvenile Detention. Stayed in there till my court appearance because they didn't want to let me out. Then I got one of these crooked attorneys, Jew, who knew the judge. The judge was Jewish. The lawyer was Jewish. He went in the back and got 2 lollipops from the judge, came back out and told me, don't say nothing. That's when I seen corruption at its highest. Y'all worry about who's going to be the mayor, the president, whatever. You better know if they know the Lord. I don't care what kind of education they got. Do they know Jesus? That's what I want to know. Before you start voting on people, do they know the Lord? Now, I know sometimes we got to pick the lesser of the two evils. I mean, I voted for Trump, man, and my whole family like, you ain't in the family no more. I said, have you seen Biden? What choice do I have? Kamala Harris, are you kidding me? She need to run with me when I was in L.A. in the gangs. That's real. If you don't see that, God will show you stuff. But for a reason, check this out. He rose early in the morning. When God gives you something to do, how do you react? Do you rise early up in the morning? He just told you to kill your boy that you love. There wasn't another thought in Abraham's head about arguing with God. Not one thought. Same with Philip. It don't have to be a great man like Philip, the deacon Philip. He doing miracles down there in Samaria. He healing people, seeing people raised from the dead. And then he's having a good revival. And God said, oh, excuse me, Philip. I got a new job for you. I want you to go down to Gaza. Oh, by the way, Philip, you're going to be passing up a lot of palm trees and water and food. Why? Because it's the desert. You know what the next verse says? And I don't know what kind of other conversation Philip had with God, but he said, God said, arise and go. And the next verse said, and he arose and went. There's no dialogue of that. He's like, well, go ahead, God. We're doing miracles. My church is growing. I'm performing. Look at the churches we're adding every day in Samaria. And God said, I don't really care. It ain't about, you didn't do it anyway. Because if you're going to stick to the scripture, stick to the scripture. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're just the branch. But he that abide in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So what are we actually trying to do without Jesus? Where you go, whatever you do. Me and Rozelle in the restaurant and the waitress, sister, you know, we thought, well, we black, she black, we going to get treated good. She got a little attitude. So I'm telling Rozelle, shit, I'm thinking in my head, I ain't finna tip her nothing. Leave her a penny, that's how we do, just to make her irritated. And then the Holy Spirit said, you don't know what she's been through. So she came back to the table, I said, excuse me, ma'am, what's your name? She told me her name. I said, is there anything I could pray for you for? She looked at me and she said, yes, you can. She the one bringing Rozelle's food, right? Leaving stuff off. And then it dawned on me. And she said, I said, I know you're waiting on another table. I said, so I'll get back. What you going to do? Wait on your tables. This lady went somewhere, came back with a note. Please pray for me and my children and pray that we find a place to stay. And had to come work in a restaurant with all that on her mind. See, we don't know. We just take for granted she's mean, she's evil, but we don't know what really people are going through. And we kind of condemn them in that moment. And I felt so bad. Went home and prayed for her. Prayed all day. That's what we do. So he arises. Abraham said to, he said, he went, saddled the donkey, took his young man with him. We need to take a lot of young men. And Isaac, his only son, I put only in my Bible because it said his son. And he split the wood to burn off. He's getting to do what God, rose, went to the place where God had told him to. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off. I'm reading verse 4. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad, and lad in scripture, is a young man. He ain't no little kid. And I will go yonder. Look at this. See that man, Paul? Paul led worship. Amen. God called killing your boy worship.
Yes.
You better get this.
Amen.
God called killing your boy that you love worship. and we will go worship, and we will come back to you. That's why he's known as the father of faith. That's why we love Abraham and the connection between every Muslim. So when I did, I used to be in the Nation of Islam, read the Quran. God said, you want to witness to a Muslim? Stay out of the New Testament. Stay with Ishmael and Isaac, and the Muslims will listen to you. Because they think Ishmael should be the one. So when you could take them to scripture and say, yeah, God made Ishmael a great nation. Gave him 12 princesses, but he wasn't the promised one. In the Old Testament, you love the Old Testament. You said that we went to the New Testament and wrote what we wanted. Well, here's the Old Testament. You got it. I don't hear Farrakhan preaching that. It's just little things that you could hit. You know, when I was in Southern Bible, you know, or in school, you know, they got the, in even regular school, they got the KISS theory. And they say, keep it simple, stupid. Well, I changed that. I say, keep it simple, saints. You may be deep. The people that need to hear them educated messages are people who have the education. You ain't finna walk in this prison where I'm at and start preaching. I invited a preacher from Bellevue. Well, not Bellevue, Mid-America. He was working on his doctrines. Took him to the federal prison with me and Mason. And I was loving his message. And I was looking at the face of the inmates, and they didn't know probably a word what he was talking about. Because half of them ain't got no education, can't even hardly read. And this guy is getting deep. I'm having a ball. But I'm looking at them, and you know, they so faithful, they be saying amen and don't even know what he's talking about. What? And then I thought, what about the people in our churches? Because amen says, so let it be. I agree with you. So if you agree, and I'm saying, let's go into the highways and hedges, as you know, that we just said this morning, let's go. Let's do something. So why ain't we doing something? Because we can't even get together, too many chiefs. Yeah. Y'all don't hear me. Don't let me get happy. I'm going to be hooping in a minute. And not enough Indians. Because everybody want to be the chief of their ministry. If you be faithful in a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. This is real. This word, I was in my living room when I got saved as a Muslim, right? I had the Quran, and this lady gave me a tract. That's why when I see Henry in the past now tracts, I get excited, because it was a tract that led me to Christ. Because it had all them salvation verses in there by Kenneth Hagin. Hey, you know who Kenneth Hagin was? I just said, oh, this is by Kenneth Hagin. Well, who's Kenneth Hagin? So I just read the word. It wasn't about Kenneth Hagin. It was about the word of God that was in that tract. And all of them were salvation verses. And the more I read, the more I started getting convicted. The more my heart was like, God's talking to me. God said, now is the time. When I heard that song on the radio, that this was it, by Kenny Loggins, coming out of Compton, God was setting me up all the way into Texas until I gave my life to Christ in my living room. That's real. I remember that. You ain't got to convince me that God is real. Because everyone, God said, I said, God, do you do that to everybody? And he said, I got my ways. Got educated people, got in them between, got the little people like you. Think you know everything. You don't. Humble yourself in the sight of God. And in due time, I'll lift you up. Don't worry about people. Don't worry about passing the back. You better worry about me. That's all you got to do. Reverence me. So he said, I worship you. So Abraham took the wood. Also, I entitled this message, I'm all proud, I'm finna end, but I entitled this message, Worship of Acceptance. If you don't accept your role,
I need to go to college. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I need to do this. I need to know. You need to know Jesus. We ain't got nothing against education, because the Bible said don't raise up a novice. We understand the scriptures. But there's some people out there can't do what you do. Can't go to the schools that you go to. So how do we help Africa, Asia, and Latin America? We got to keep it simple, saints. I told a story in Africa. I was in Nigeria, and I told this joke, and nobody laughed. I thought that was a good joke. You know, it was kind of Christian. It wasn't, you know. Professor Woods, who I went to Africa with, calls me when we go back. He said, Michael, you told them a joke concerning your culture. They didn't understand that. And it had to do with how these women was working so hard in Africa in this little tribe. I said something like, I can't hardly get my wife to take out the trash. I thought I could get a little laugh out of that, and they were just looking at me like. So I said, what did I do wrong? He said, go learn their culture. So you want to use another joke, another example? You better come out of the book of their culture. Then tell them about Jesus. See, we don't understand that. We think we can just say anything and do. No, you can't. You got to be led by the Spirit of God or shut up. He said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit and it's going to teach you what to say. That's what I like about Jesus. I won't leave you comfortless, disciples, apostles, but I'll send another comforter. It's called the Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead. This is what he's going to do. He shall bring back to your remembrance the things that I have taught you. And he's going to teach you all things you need to know. So I studied John MacArthur, Charles Stanley, Anthony Evans, some of the great preachers, Adrian Rogers. I love these men. And God said, yeah, but you would love me more, because without me, they couldn't do nothing. So I ain't got to buy all these. You know, people say, man, you know, I come out of the Catholic Church. They said, you know, the Catholic Bible got more than 66 books. I said, they do? I said, I'm having trouble with 66. I don't need no more. Now, I don't speak Hebrew and I don't speak Greek. And there's books out there I can look up certain words like agape, phileos, know the difference in the love, you know. But I don't speak Greek, so when some pastor, you know, says a Greek word, I don't know. He could be lying to me. I don't know. So I asked somebody to help me with English. That's why Rozelle had the problem. Do you know me and Rozelle got mad at me and another pastor coming out of the prison? I ain't lying. And Rozelle was riding with me. I wanted to sock him, really. So me and the pastor, Rozelle, maybe you're a little too tense on this. Not in the prison, because Rozelle, you could do anything. I said, well, with some people, Rozelle, you might want to hold back. Rozelle looked at me and this pastor and told that pastor straight in his face, you do what God called you to do. Look at Michael, you do what you called to do. I'm an evangelist. I do what I'm going to do. And I was like, I didn't even want to talk to him on the way home. And then it hit me. God said, yeah, he's an evangelist. And you better go read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering and doctrine. And then down the line it says, and then do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Rozelle, I'm sorry. God bless you, brother. God got me that night. Your fault, though. So worship of acceptance. Accept your role in the body of Christ. If you're a pinky, be the pinky. If you the thumb, be the thumb. If you the foot, be the foot. If you the eye, be the eyes for God. Be the ears for God. If you have a heart, and we all do, feel the heartbeat of God. He said, learn of me. Jesus is the key. The common denominator of every religion, every preacher, everybody, if it was not be Jesus, we are hopeless, helpless, useless. Don't try it. It don't work. You want revival? I want revival. But the spark starts with accepting your role. If you can't accept who you are and what God calls you to do, we can't work together as the body. As I am, that's what I teach. That's how I know. They came to a place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord, look at God, called to him from heaven. Said Abraham, said his name twice, Abraham. So he said, here I am, just like he had said before. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything for him. For now I know, it's the word fear, reverence God. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. We know the story. That's God. Come, he's never late. He's always right on time. My brothers and sisters, accept your role. Accept what you do. God's going to put you in positions where you say, we had a little trouble getting our pastor. You know, we had 90 resumes. You had 7 people trying to find the next pastor for our church. I'm real close with Josh Sinkfield, the pastor's son. I always thought maybe he should be the next pastor. That's what I thought. Went to school, got a beautiful family, loved the Lord. But the Lord had somebody else in mind. So whatever you was thinking, it wasn't what God was thinking. Now we said we put our trust in these 7 people. We prayed over them. They selected the man they thought that the Holy Spirit picked. Check this out. To give us an update of where they are. They were down to 5. So I say to the foreman, I got a question. We get to ask questions. What if you get down to the last 2? They both equal in their theology, sound in their doctrine. Great men of God, family oriented, love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. I said, and you having a problem picking one or the other. So I says to the foreman in staff meeting, now I'm the only black man in staff meeting. I said, what if one of the two was black? Would that make a difference? That foreman looked at me and I had all the staff. Michael's always starting trouble in staff meeting. They all got quiet in the room. Foreman's looking at me, looked me in the eye. He said, no, it ain't going to make a difference because we're going to go by the Holy Ghost. Now, when I asked that question, when it was five people, I didn't even know there was a black man even in the list. Because you ain't supposed to know the list. I know something got leaked out later on down the line. That's how it works. But I didn't know who was on the list. I didn't know who was in the five. But when it got down to two, I remember asking them that question. Come to find out there was a black man. He's one of the two. And when they picked him, Dr. Lee Brand, and he preached his first message at Faith, the foreman came over to me that Sunday morning. He said, Michael, I said, yes. He said, remember that question you asked me in staff meeting? I said, yeah, I remember. He said, the answer still is no, it doesn't make a difference. See, now our church had have to be in a mindset of acceptance. I end with this. Pastor preached Sunday, I am no longer a stranger. That was the title of Ephesians chapter 2. What I like about this message, in the, it says he had 3 points. As part of God's family, we are no longer put out. Before Christ, we were shut out of a relationship with God. In Christ, we are set in a relationship with God. Point two, as part of God's family, we now have peace. This peace is afforded in the person of Christ. This peace comes from accepting the provision of Christ. Boy, as soon as he said that point, my ears just lit up. Point three, as part of God's family, we now have a place. We have a place as citizens of the kingdom. We have a place as children in his family. And we have a place where Christ is the cornerstone. But when he ended this brilliant message, he had these challenging applications or remarks at the end. And the question was, are you focusing more on what you have in Christ than what you lack in the world? Are you trusting in what you are doing or in what Christ has done? Are you finding your worth in your place with God, or you find it in the world? Because Scripture says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. And if anyone, any man, any woman love the things of this world, the love of God is not in you. Don't play with this word. Don't play with this God. He ain't going to play with you, since he's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Since he could read my thoughts, Jeremiah said in 1, I knew you before I put you in your mother's womb. There was a plan. Stay with the plan. God have you here for a purpose. Be used for his glory and honor, no matter what he gives you. Whether you poor, whether you homeless, whatever it is, God say, I will supply every need according to my riches. My riches, not yours. Not your education, not your social status. No matter where you live. You can live in Germantown, you can live in South Central Los Angeles, you can live in the Bronx, Harlem, doesn't matter. Because one day I'm going to come get you. So when the men in prison, when they come about how long they've been in jail, I thought one day was as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. So how long have you really been in prison? In God's time. And he said, Mr. Cass, you always start in trouble. Because everybody in prison, and he probably could didn't do it. They didn't commit the crime. And you know there are probably some that didn't do that crime that they got arrested for, got 20 years to life. They're probably innocent. So what I did, the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, said, tell them to pull out a piece of paper. So I said, y'all pull out a piece of paper and write down every crime you ever committed that you never got caught for. See, these guys go to the library. They smart. They know what the judge will give them if they got caught. These guys started. I said, what'd you write? He said, Miss Cassie, if God would have got me for every crime that I got away with, I'd be in jail for 50 years. I said, oh, you mean he got you in jail for 20 years on a crime you didn't commit, but he let you get away with 50 years? Will you subtract 20 from 50? Mr. Gassie, you have a way of putting things. And the whole chapel got quiet. And I could tell on their faces, we deserve to be here. And I said, why are you here? Accept it. Make it a ministry. Preach the word to the guards, to everyone in here, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering and doctrine. Love y'all.
Thank you, brother. Great, great word. Before Michael sits down, I'm going to have Paul come up here and Stacy come up here. We're going to pray over Janet and Ked Napper. We're going to commission them before they go to South Africa tomorrow.
Amen.
And these three people serve on their board or have at one time. I know Stacy has. I know Paul has, may still be on his board, and Michael. And Ken, come up here. I know several years ago when we were another broken egg, Ken was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and was going to MD Anderson the next day, and we had Newbar anoint him with oil. So y'all come up here. And
these are our board members.
Board members? Okay, we'll let the board members commission you and pray over you before you go. And then I've got James Avery's going to have a commitment. But whoever wants to lead right here, and if y'all just put your hands forth on this as we commission this
All right, we got a prayer warrior here. Go.
God, I just thank you for these two. God, I thank you for what they're doing in the world. I thank you for the impact they're making in our communities. God, I thank you for the impact they've made in my life and my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
God, thank you for the way that you've connected us all together here. God, I thank you for what they're doing around the world. God, it's not just here, but they're doing it everywhere, God. And so as we look to them as they go, God, keep them safe. God, keep them safe. Provide for them, God. Direct their steps, direct their thoughts and their words, God. And we just lift them up to you. God, just take care of them, God, and lead them where you want them to be. God, let them meet the people you want them to meet, God, and just continue to use these two. Their stories are amazing, God.
Yes.
Everywhere I look,
yes,
they're helping people. God.
Yes,
They're helping people that need to hear,
yes,
about you, and they're helping people that need to feel your love. So,
yes,
God, I just thank you.
Thank you, Father.
For allowing them to be a part of our friends, our family, our,
yes,
circle, God. Just,
yes,
thank you for them being willing to go.
Yes.
And accepting the call on their life.
Yes.
God. And I just, it just really inspired me in my walk, God, for many, many years, watching these two serve you and just do whatever you call them to do, and it's obvious that they're doing what you call them to do. So, God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
God
David.
Bless you. All right. Thank you for the word. I think you could finish up next week. You want to continue that message next week, all right? I want James Avery to come up here. You know, we've got an election next week. Governor Bill Lee will be at the Colleyville Square Saturday evening at 6:30. If you finish watching the Tennessee-Georgia game, I think it'll probably be fourth quarter, but 6:30, Bill Lee will be at the Colleyville Square. We have tracts here that I want you to take with you. We want you to invest in that little metal mailbox right there. This one right here is Allah Had No Son. Tim and I went to the Muslim distribution of the Quran, the tent that they had at Shelby Farms on Sunday. And as I was there, a Jewish family came up and was wanting some candy out of the basket that we had. And we had the opportunity to give some gospel tracts, Jesus, I mean, we love the Jewish people, and it was a Chick publication tract. This tract right here doesn't attack Allah. If you attack Allah, a Muslim has, the Quran says they have a right to kill you. This just basically is like what Michael just said. It talks about Ishmael and Isaac, and it helps explain the gospel. If you want to help invest in these tracts, you can just put some money in that mailbox. But I would like for James to share. He's got a need for Frederick Tappan on poll workers for next week. But James, if you could share that real quick.
Thank you again. I'm reminded about a writer that says, Lord, I stretch my hands to thee for no other help I know. Michael, thank you for that beautiful message. You empowered my spirit. And all right, awaken me. We're going to kiss after today. Mr. Hutton and David, we're going to keep it simple, saints. Now, I'm here for the task of reminding us that we've done well in this election. I think the Republicans and the Conservative Party is outvoting the Democratic Party 2 and 3 to 1 on some of the polls. And we still need assistance with poll workers. Now, you know, that's a tough job, and I know none of us really want to do it. But if we want to continue to encourage the mission of the conservative movement and make some positive changes based on the leadership, it's incumbent on all of us to take interest, even if you can't take an active role. If you can't do it, reach out to someone, your kids, your neighbors, your church members, and call David, because you probably know David's number, but I'd love to give you my number. I don't want to confuse you with any additional information, but feel free to call. We have a team that's on the ground working aggressively, trying to maintain the momentum that we've already established. So any of you that can offer any help and assistance is just sitting on the polls and supporting the candidate that we believe, based on the numbers, will win, Fred Tappan for Senate. I think he'll change and continue down that conservative pathway of ensuring that we've got the right leadership that protects our families and provide us the governance of leadership that we need. So, David, did I leave anything? I would do that. I would do that. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the message. Heavenly Father, thank you for, again, for having such a wonderful, safe, pleasant place to worship where all of us can come together in your name, Lord, and share the word, share what we've done during the week, as Henry Hutton has asked us to do during our weekly involvement. He's asked us by your sanction, Lord, to make sure that we go and worship with someone, and encourage someone, that giving their life to Jesus, just learning about the name of Jesus, will make it all so different. Now, Lord, as we leave this place and go to our respective places, Heavenly Father, go with us and protect us. Lord, we don't know what's going to happen with the election, and I'm not going to stand here and make any acclaim one way or the other. As the speaker has already spoken, we've done our work, those of us that have done it, and we're trying to stay in our role, and we know that from that, you'll bless the outcome. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.